Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. This is Craig Hewitt with Andy Baldacci. Andy, it's been a hot minute, huh?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, to me, like the last month has been a blur.
Yeah.
Between like basketball starting up, between just baby life.
Getting ready for Halloween.
And then illnesses and everything else. So I don't even remember when we last spoke. I don't think it was actually like too long ago, but it's been a few weeks at least. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that too. And yeah, I think just typical kind of life and startup life, like a lot of stuff happens in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Seems like a whirlwind.
Yeah. And it was funny. There was one of the things that we were going to talk about right when we recorded last, didn't get to it and then didn't sync up, but we're going to go back and revisit some great Twitter interaction that we had.
If there wasn't enough Twitter drama in the world, which I want to talk about, but we're recording this the day that Elon Musk bought Twitter, the day after something. So lots of ill-formed ideas in our minds. But yeah, I mean, the topic comes from a tweet I sent, which is actually a need that I have. And I know that some people might not agree.
You think you have.
And yeah, a need that I think I have. Oh, here's some background. The very first thing I do every day when I log onto my computer is I check Stripe. Then I check Chartmogul. Then I check Google AdWords, and we're running some Facebook ads. So I checked both of those to see how they performed the last few days. And then I have a Google Data Studio that I can go and like two screens, see all of our kind of traffic metrics. And then I check our bank account. And that's the first like 5 minutes of every day. And usually there's nothing for me to do, but we have had times in the past where like things are broken or there's some major disaster where if I hadn't checked that stuff, like it would be bad. Like we just had billing turned off for everyone at one point in like the company history. And so I just am hyper paranoid about it to the point where I have to check that stuff all the time, not all the time, at least every day.
I guess we'll get into what was the tweet. I'm trying to actually dig it up right now.
So the tweet was, so that's the background. And the tweet was, I need a tool or I want a tool that shows trial starts month to date, and that versus the previous month or a goal I set. Because what I do is I use the Chartmogul numbers because the numbers are fucking all over the place between Google Analytics and Stripe and Chartmogul. The numbers are, and Amplitude, the numbers are all different, which is amazing. But I just use Chartmogul because that's where I use it for everything else. It's like our source of truth. And they only show month to date or last 30 days, but they don't reference how does that compare to the month before. And so I want an email in my inbox every morning with Craig, you've had 257 trials month to date. That's five more than, and you know, 1% or whatever, more than last month at this point. Such a thing does not exist, and it should.
What would you do with that information? Because like, I get the, and I think my tweet was just like, please don't do that, something like that.
Yeah.
And I think the idea of saying, let me make sure things aren't broken is valid. I'm not confident those are the right things to be checking for that.
Fair.
And yeah. It's like, I think when it comes to trials, especially, unless there is like a clear, distinct change you made to the process that you are trying to measure, it, to me, it's just going to be pure noise. Because if there is a change, what caused it? And like, I think if it's a binary, are people still signing up or not? Yeah, sure. But like, you could probably get that, like you could set up like almost like a health check for that. And so I feel like I'm assuming there's more to it than just like the, is everything broken check. And like MRR, like if it just went to zero, like I guess I don't know what you could see there for that side of it.
Most of it is just like, and maybe, you know, this is counterproductive, but like most of it is kind of like my mental health, right? I just want to see where things are in terms of revenue and cash flow and MRR and all that kind of stuff. That's why I look at all that stuff just at a high level. I look at the homepage of the Chartmogul dashboard and I don't drill into anything other than trials, because on the trial page, I can break it down by day. But the reason I want to see trials by day is I'm head of marketing right now. And that is my only thing, right? Everything that I do is driving towards new trials. And we had 2 days this month where we had more than double the number of trials we normally get. And fuck if I know like where they came from. I checked most of them. They don't look like spam. Something happened on those 2 days where like things blew up and we got a whole bunch of trials. And like, yeah, what am I going to do with it? I don't know. But I want to know, because it's my number. Am I trending or like trending towards meeting my goal. I want to grow trial count by 10% a month. And I want to know if it's the 10th of the month, am I on track, or is there shit I have to do to iterate and split test and whatever.
But I guess before that, like, is there, you don't need to like reveal the playbook you're executing or anything, but I guess like, are there deliberate things you are doing that you expect to have an impact on the trials? Because I guess that's the biggest thing is like, if that is the case, I can see tracking it. I still think in an individual day, there's way too much noise at this. Like, we both get a lot of trials given our industries, but like well over 1,000 a month. But even then, there's just going to be way too much noise from day to day. And so that's more why, like, if that is the main motivation, I think it's going to be pulling you in a lot of different directions without actually like providing value. You probably have some signal on a weekly basis. The trouble is that there are other factors at play other than just the changes you've made, like seasonality and things like that. And so those are going to have a very big impact. And so it's comparing it to the previous month. Like, that's probably not the best comparison. Comparing it to that week the previous year theoretically would be better, but a lot has changed since then. And so I guess what I think when you try to say, is this actually providing signal? I just really don't think it is. And it could be if there's not a lot of other variations, but it's just like, I don't know that it is that directly, not even directly, but I don't think it's, you can eliminate all other causes of these fluctuations on a short time scale. And I think as the time scale gets bigger, as we are like earlier stage companies, where we are now is different than where we were a year ago. So it's just hard to find like something to compare it to. And it's probably not a bad idea to track on some sort of scorecard to see like bigger picture, like, is this at least trending in the right direction? But I don't know that it's like actionable. I'm very confident that even if it drives action, there's going to be enough misdirection that it's not worth it, and that it really wouldn't change too much. And I get what you mean about like the comfort and like kind of mental health side of it, but it's almost at the same time like a dopamine fix where I get it through just like brainlessly scrolling through Twitter on my phone in the morning and things like that. And that's not, air quotes, like good, but I still do it anyways. And it's one of those things where I think by doing it more, your brain then like requires that you do it. And if you don't do it, you feel like something's off and it's not actually providing much. And then when the reason why I think it's dangerous is because there's so much noise. And so those fluctuations impact you more than they really should. And so like, I have no idea. Well, I mean, I have an idea of what our like retirement accounts look like right now. Zero. As far as like, I can tell you like the ballpark, but I'm sure they're down a good amount, but like, I don't know the number because like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to change my strategy based on that. I'm not going to be able to act on it, but like, it's probably seeing the significant loss this calendar year wouldn't feel good. But again, it's just like, why would I subject myself to that? Just having that more like intangible, like, yeah, it's not great, but am I going to change anything? No, I feel like it's healthier. And when you're subjecting yourself to the day-to-day whims and really like on that short of a time scale, that's what it is. I think you're just...
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not talking about like, oh, did we get 50 or 60 trials yesterday? It's like month to date. How are we doing? How are we trending? Not like this day. Right, how many did we get yesterday?
Checking it every day. It's like you're the different.
Yeah,
like,
checking it every day. And on like, yeah, and to your point though, like the first or the second of the month, I don't look at it, right? Because there's only whatever, 100 trials or whatever. But like where it's important to me is on a day like this, like the 27th of the month, I'm like, I got a goal, right? And it's just that I don't want to have to do the math of like, okay, we're at 850 trials now and it's the 27th. How many do we need to get to my goal? Then if it's a round number, that's easy. But if it's not, then like, and that's all it is. It's not like I literally don't do anything with the information, but I just want to know.
Right.
How I'm doing. So
that's
that
what
goal.
I'm saying is like, you just want to know that is
I just want to know.
That's the core part. and that's fine. But like, it's an addiction, and like, I have my own
going through. It's the only one
It just no value, and it's like the reason I'm like actually like I do rail against this a lot because I know it's very common for founders to like constantly refresh ProfitWell or ChartMogul, whatever they're doing, and like look at it all the time, and it's noise. It's noise on any basis that people are like doing it. If you need to know for hiring decisions, you should obviously be like regularly checking it, like monthly, making sure like you're operating within the amount of runway that you want to have. And if you're making hiring decisions, you want to have a good feel for that. But it's just, it's pure noise on a day-to-day basis. And so in poker, there were probably talked about gambling stuff in a while. So if anyone's listening, like I played poker professionally for about a decade, 99% online, and there were basically databases, tools like Poker Tracker or Hold'em Manager, where it would import your hand history, like all the hands that you're playing while you're playing would get saved in this database. So you could see your profit and loss. You could dig in to see how different hands were performing. And that's its own thing, because to really know how a hand did, like you need a massive sample size, and you're probably not going to get that. But the biggest one is just in general, like what are my results? And it would change very frequently, because if you're playing a dozen different tables at once, it's not a smooth climb up in poker. It's very lumpy in terms of results. So people, me at the time, would just like refresh it every 15 minutes and just like, oh, like, how's it looking? And you'd be surprised if you went for longer, you would be surprised how far off you could be from like what the actual results were. But then like in a shorter time frame, in a game that is literally a stochastic game, there is a significant element of chance, of randomness. Like whatever happened in the last 20 minutes, the last hour, frankly, and this is with me playing like about 1,000 hands an hour with how many tables I was playing, the last month of 60 hours a week of playing, noise. There's just so much randomness. And so what would happen is, if you thought you were doing well and then you check and you're like, oh shit, like I'm actually down, that sucks. Like that is one of the worst things. And then you lose confidence and then you're just pissed off. And if you think you're down, you're up, you're like, oh, okay. Like that does help, but like, it's not as though you're going to play better or change. And so to me, these are scenarios where there is minimal upside at best, but very significant downside. It's an asymmetric risk as far as the downside goes. Where like, what's the best thing that's going to do? Not much. But worst thing and very frequent thing is it's going to impact your mood negatively. And you're not, and which isn't bad in and of itself if you could immediately act to change it. But like in the poker example, you could have played correctly and still had poor results. And that's why that is, you really shouldn't be looking at short-term results. In a business's case, it's not that you can't influence anything. You absolutely can. But I just think it's harder to influence like MRR. Like, yeah, you want it to be trending upwards and you're going to be doing things that will have, if you make a pricing change and everything like that, there's the bigger things will show up easier. But like on a day-to-day basis, when nothing major changed, it's randomness. And that's where it's just like, I guess as a very long-term professional gambler, like trying to minimize those kind of things that impact your mental health, which can then impact the decisions you make and everything else, without much potential gain. It's like, if you won't last in gambling if you let those things drive you, because they're pulling you a ton of directions, or you just feel like shit, even if you're still getting good results. It's like, not, you just have to remove that from if you're in the gambling world. And so that I think served me well coming to
yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to beat this dead horse too much, but for me, the truth lies somewhere in between those two examples, right? It's not a retirement account that like I literally just put money in there and I don't want to know, right, until I'm 60 years old or whatever. Or gambling, where like I don't want that data to affect what I do right now. Like I think for me that this is somewhere in between, because like,
yeah, for sure.
We changed the button on the homepage 2 weeks ago, right? And like I want to see what's going on there. Like we made some changes recently that like literally double the number of trials we get every day. And like, I want to see that stuff, because we're doing stuff every day that's affecting that. And if it's affecting it negatively, I do want to get that feedback. And like, maybe to your point, there's a better tool to use. Like I know like there's like conversion rate optimization tools, and maybe that's what I should be looking at or something. But like, it just, and I'm really self-aware these days, it doesn't affect my mood like at all.
No, and that's good. And it's like, I think then if it is a more pragmatic thing, I think it's finding ways to more directly measure what you're doing, because
yes,
if you are making
specific the inputs,
choices that you want to have an impact on these things, measure it. It's more like when you're using the generalized tools that aren't set up to say, I did this, what happened? That's where it's just like, I think you introduce a lot of noise to the process.
Totally fair. Yeah, totally fair. Yeah. Shout out to, I haven't used them, but it looks super cool. Tiny seed company called SEO Testing, SEOtesting.com. Maybe what I need, because basically takes changes you make to your website and tracks like the result, right? So it's like a website optimizing testing tool. So as opposed to just fucking changing a bunch of stuff and not remembering what you did or tracking it somewhere, I'm butchering their value prop, but it might be what I'm searching for.
The last thing I'll say is just I think it's important to focus on the precision of what you actually are measuring and like what your goal, because I think it's really easy to measure something that's only quasi related, or it's like impacted by a bunch of other things. And so it's trying to figure out, okay, I changed this on our homepage. Is tracking trials the right thing? Tracking MRRs, probably not. Tracking trials is still like kind of a remove. Like, what is the literal next action you wanted this to influence? Track that. And it's not that there won't be noise, but you're removing as many.
It's more actionable.
Exactly. And it's like you're minimizing the other, there's going to be fluctuations naturally, but those won't be coming from a bunch of other confounding variables. So, yeah. But I mean, Twitter right now in general is
yeah, let's talk about Twitter.
Yeah, I think there's a lot going on there. This is, yeah, as Craig was saying, Elon, I think the deal, I guess, officially closed.
He's yesterday, I think.
CEO yeah. and CFO and like head counsel's fired. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't know what to think yet. To be honest, like I don't ever listen to This Week in Startups, but I would love to hear what Jason Calacanis thinks. I'm sure the episode is out by now for today. I think he generally has a pretty good feel for like this area of tech, you know?
Yeah, startups, but he's also like tells everyone how much of a friend he is with Elon and like loves that. So I think
definitely outside, not impartial.
Like if yeah. it's not, I think he's going to be very clear, like personally motivated on this. I mean, the way that he's talked about in other episodes is, and so I'll be interested to hear his take, but it's absolutely going to be like pro Elon, which is fine. But I think, yeah, I wouldn't look at it as like an objective take.
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, what I think is interesting is also like Facebook start, whatever, Meta stock down. What massively, right? This week, I saw a thing where US regulators, I don't know if this is rumor or what, looking at removing TikTok, right? From the app stores, whatever. At least definitely some like privacy concerns, blah, blah, blah there. And so if you look at like arguably the three biggest social media platforms right now, at least, you know, three of the biggest, like the thing that makes me think is like, this is just a big time for social media. Yeah, I don't think it's going away, like the concept of social media not going away, still super important for a lot of stuff we do. I'm not a big social media person, but I think it definitely has its place. The optimist in me is that this much disruption and just like unease will move people to kind of owning your own turf, right? Own your RSS feed for your podcast, own your website where you blog. If there's, you know, this kind of concept of like decentralized social media, you know, maybe that's like where some of this goes.
I don't think anything's like, changing.
Yeah, that's very possible. Yeah.
It's hard to say like if there's definitely a trend towards privacy and everything else, because I just feel like in the tech world that it feels like there's always been that move and it just hasn't done much. And like when we're talking about companies with hundreds of millions and billions of active users, it's not based on just the very tech sophisticated set. And so I don't know, like I think it's one of those things where the network, the audience matters, and it's absolutely in a vacuum better to own your distribution or control it as much as possible. But you don't like, how do you build the audience? How do you get people to find you? Like, you're going to have to at some point rely on something else to do it. And I think that's kind of a separate discussion. I think as like a business, you should try to move things back into your ecosystem as early as you can, but you're always going to be relying on another ecosystem. I don't think that's going to change. And I don't know, I feel like got a lot of random thoughts right now. So for Meta, I actually, like, I don't trade stocks. I just index funds and like get my alpha from growing a business. But I'm like actually kind of debating buying, because this is like the most perfect example of an asymmetric bet that there is, and is done at like an insane scale. So I'm not even making any value judgments on, is it the right bet to make or anything else? Just, it is clearly an asymmetric bet, because Facebook's already lost on mobile. They don't control that ecosystem. They tried to have a phone, it flopped. They are beholden to the carriers, to Apple, and it's had a huge impact on them. If VR is a huge thing and they can own that platform, that is insanely big for them, because they then own their ecosystem. Will that happen? I have no idea. I mean, it seems like it's coming soon for a very long time, but like, there is not a 0% chance that that happens. And if it does happen, they already are very well positioned to be maybe not the dominant force like Google is.
Oh, they're way ahead of anyone else.
Exactly.
Though, right?
Yeah. And yeah, that is insane. Like, even if they're the number two player, they're not a player at all in the way that people consume their services now. And so that changes the economics of the business substantially. And so I think the market seems to be pricing it in as that will never happen. They're going to keep burning money forever. And there's no upside, let alone trying to quantify the upside. But like, if there is some real chance, non-zero chance, that they're right, then it seems like it could be very mispriced right now. I don't actually want to do that, because kind of going back to what I was saying before, like, I have no control over it. I think that's like reasonable logic. If I got into more like historical valuations and everything and like actually tried to model it somewhat, but I'm not going to do that, because to me, it's like, I like to gamble when I have an edge. And even if I have an edge, the more for me to risk more, I need to be more confident in that edge. And this is a spot where it's like not my expertise. And if it's not a lot of money, it just is not worth the mental health. Because then I'm like, oh, well, when do I sell? If it works out, like, when do I do? It's just like, no, like, I don't want all those other decisions. But
I agree. I think asymmetric bet is a good term. I think it's as hated as the stock can get right now. You know, like, if they have another quarter like this, it won't be the first time that people have seen this, right? Like, this is the first time, whatever, they missed big.
Right, and I feel like they're pricing,
you know, the metaverse and all this, and people are just like, fuck, yeah, exactly. This is never going to work out. If it doesn't work out next quarter, it'll be a 10% drop or something. You know, it's not going to be like whatever it was this week. And I actually think they'll pull it off, you know? Like, I don't know what the metaverse will be in VR and all this, but like, it's gonna be a thing. And I think they'll do it, because they kind of know that like traditional social media is not like where they're going to make their next billions. And so I think that they'll figure out a way to make it work. They just have so much, I don't know if they have moment, they have so much mass, you know, like they don't have momentum right now, but they have so much mass. I think they can make it work. It's just the amount of like impression they have on the market is so huge.
Well, when it comes to like mass, I think in general, that's the default state for so many of the tech companies, is they have a lot of mass, and it's a lot of it is dead weight, frankly. And I think like with the Twitter acquisition, it's like, no, like I don't want to, I'm never going to like cheer about people losing their jobs. But if I'm looking at this objectively, I think what he said publicly about like 75% of the staff getting cut, you could probably cut more and have no material impact on the business. And it goes back to the dozens of rants I've had too, but like most things not really making an impact. And I think that's true in every business, but like the extent is true at some of these real like big tech companies where it's like, no, people literally are not working. And then like the ones that are, it's like, well, what are they actually doing? And it's not as though this is an easy thing to fix, but it's like, if this was PE came in, you could fire 90% or more. It's not as though they have a big sales organization, because they don't do a shitty job of their ad platform sucks and they're not like doing a ton to really sell. I'm sure they have a lot of headcount there, but like, there's not much you would need to just operate as it is and be very profitable. I don't think that would justify the price paid. Like, you could get costs way under control. But if you actually want to grow, I think you could do that with a much, much smaller headcount. The hard part is then, like, how do you do it effectively? Because it's not as though Elon can go in and he's not running any of the teams. It's like he'll set vision, but then he's going to have his team of managers and everything come in and run it. It's like, that's where the risk is that they've got, it's hard. If you want to operate as a lean team, like a highly effective team, that's very difficult and it gets harder at scale. And so it's not like an easy thing, but I think theoretically there's a ton of waste in there. So.
Totally agree. I think that like he will come in with like a PE mindset, right? I think he is going to be very ambitious about it. You know, and I think he said something like, you know, X the app for everything, right? And so that makes me think of like WeChat or something. Maybe not exactly, but e-commerce and all this kind of stuff like built into it. I think like stuff like that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, the first thing I think about is like, what is this doing? All of this, right? All of this is together, right? Like the value of Meta stock going down and a bunch of people getting fired from Twitter. Like, what is this doing to the economy in San Francisco? Because like, it was already bad, right? And then like, these are maybe relatively small things, but like these are only the two that we know about, right? There's a whole bunch of private, not publicly traded startups firing people and laying folks off and stuff like that. And like, I wonder about like things like home values and stuff like that in a place like San Francisco surely will be like affected, right? Like a lot of these folks will have to leave or whatever. Not a cheap place to live if you're unemployed.
No, but I think it was just the other week, there's some report that came out about like most expensive cities to live in, and New York one, I think Boston is higher now than San Francisco. And it's like San Francisco's slipping for sure. Yeah, this obviously doesn't help. And I think I'm not saying this is the direction you were trying to take it, but I feel like a lot of these kind of discussions can be true. It's like, yeah, this will mass layoffs of highly paid people in a very focused geography will have like very large impacts on that geography's economy and likely a ripple effect outside of that. Well, like, okay, then like, so does that mean those actions shouldn't be taken? Does that mean something else?
No,
I'm not asking about it. It's more like, I guess,
just like an observation.
Bad, but I don't, you know.
An observation, because it'll be the first time that I know, like that I was since 2008, probably, that like there's a thing that really can affect like a city. You know, COVID, right? But like, that was kind of transient.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like you have Detroit, and I'm sure there's been other examples, not in our like immediate lifetime.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, it's happened. But yeah, I guess I can't think of a clear, and I was actually thinking about that the other day of like, we see all these cities like blowing up, like Austin and Denver and was like, oh, like what happens when those like trendy cities like don't keep being trendy? Like, I'm just trying to even think of examples of that. And it's like, oh, like, no, they're still trendy. But I guess San Francisco is the poster child of that.
Yeah. Now. It's kind of coming down. Yeah.
I don't know. Have you been to San Francisco?
Yep. Right around the time we got married, I ran like a half marathon there.
Yeah. I don't know. I've only spent like brief amounts of time there. And I do think there's a lot to be said for the ideals and like being surrounded. We've talked about it before of just like having a community around you that gets what you're doing and is also like motivated and trying to do similar things. And you, I don't think we have aspirations to do like those venture scale type companies, but like if that's what I think there's one, it's cool to have that mentality be so pervasive, even if it's not exactly what I would optimize for. But two, it's like for those kind of people, it's like you want to find more of those people and it can create an echo chamber, but sometimes it's okay to amplify certain things. I guess like if you want to achieve something, that's going to be the best way to do it. Like you will have to shut out other things, and being surrounded by like-minded people has its own concerns. And I think we're kind of seeing some of that feedback as far as like the feedback loop goes of what happens when an echo chamber kind of like collapses on itself. But it's interesting when it lasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting is the right word, right? Just the whole, I mean, that situation and just like a lot of the things around it is super interesting. I think like, yeah, I'm just watching. Yeah. A lot of ill-formed, incomplete thoughts. Cause I don't think we have enough information. Right. But like, yeah, super interesting. I mean, I think part of it is now without getting too like idealistic, like Twitter could and is and could really be quite the like social tool. Like you saw it, I think, more on Facebook in the last election. But like, I mean, the stuff that happened with like voting and fake news and all, I mean, all this stuff is like legit like stuff that's impacting our lives, you know, whatever, to some extent impacting our lives. And a single person controlling that now is like not insignificant.
Yeah, agreed. And I mean, I think it's, that's something where I hate the Elon haters in a lot of cases. I think when it comes to like Tesla stuff, it's easy to, there's a lot, I almost view him as like Trump in certain ways where it's, if you love Elon, you kind of just put up with a lot of his crazy stuff. He's like, he's just a self-promoter. He's just he might miss his deadlines, but like he's making progress and he's really working towards these big things. And you kind of just like hand wave away the like genuine complaints. And I think that's valid. But I think on like the political Elon hate to me just seems like kind of crazy. Or I think what you said is very accurate. Like anyone controlling any of these social platforms, whether it's one person or whatever, like a company controlling such powerful platforms is something we should think more about. But like, I think both sides just love to just try to shut the others down. Like anything that like goes against what they're trying to do is then the most evil thing in the world. And I just feel like people at this point aren't being too objective about it. Like I don't have enough like a real well-formed thought on just what is the right way of doing it. But I think I agree with you. Like, yeah, there is something that should be done, but it's just who knows what that'll be. And so in my opinion, it's just like keeping it transparent and open is safer than the other way in the sense of like, it's hard to make a very costly mistake. You might give platforms to people who some don't think should have it. But I think it's when you start silencing, that's where you can very, like things can spiral much faster. And if we can't find a perfect solution, it's like, I'd rather just go with the one that has less catastrophic failures, even if there are still real challenges, but I don't know.
And as someone who like we have made, I mean, at the end of the day, it's subjective decisions about content that is and is not allowed on our platform. It's hard. You know, like we have had to take content down and it's hard. It's a hard decision because you have both sides. You have the, hey, you should be able to say whatever you want. And you have the, you can't really say whatever you want because some of it is just really bad and hurtful.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Or go say it somewhere else. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, it's a tough thing. Anyways, super interesting. I hope everyone enjoyed our bit of rambling kind of pontifications. But yeah, folks, have any feedback, questions, comments? podcast@seekingscale.com. And Andy, as always, it's great. Thank you.
It's been good. I think we'll be on a more consistent schedule and a lot of things in the works. So I think we'll have some more practical or at least relevant things. But every once in a while, we're going to go on our little tangents. And so we appreciate you guys indulging us if anyone is still listening. But either way, thanks for tuning in. See you, everybody.